Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, June 26th, One Take Wednesday. Please continue to be praying for the family mission team as we are in Fort Collins, Colorado. And as we continue on in God's Word, let us pray that the Spirit would reveal to us places in our hearts and lives that may need to change or avenues for joy in who God is. All right, we're in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 25. This is recounting the first of Paul's missionary journeys. And like a good nerd, I went online and I found a little map that you can actually color in about Paul's first missionary journey. And so I'm going to kind of trace my way around the journey. If you want to join me in that exercise, I can send you the link to the little page so that we can color in together. Barnabas and Saul, also known as Paul, set off today, and we will hear about their interactions, leaving Antioch and then headed to Cyprus, and then we're going to read to where they get to Pisidian Antioch. And then in the middle of the story where Paul is teaching about the gospel from the Old Testament, we're going to have to stop, and then we'll pick up again tomorrow with the rest of that story. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1, in the New International Version. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as a helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that was what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed about the teaching about the Lord. Then the title is In Pisidian Antioch. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt, with mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct in the wilderness, and he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, "Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I just want to go back through some things that stood out to me. It says that they fasted and prayed, and they laid their hands on Paul, also known as Saul, and Barnabas. And so when we set apart our deacons, we also have a time where we lay our hands on them and we pray for them. It's a sort of blessing them and sending them to do the work of God. Now, Barnabas and Saul head to Cyprus, and in Cyprus, they meet a false prophet there, a Jewish sorcerer, and his name is Bar-Jesus, so son of Jesus. But when Paul addresses him in verse 10, he doesn't say child of the of God. He calls him a child of the devil, because that is exactly what he is. He is not doing the work of one whose name is like our Lord's. He's doing the work of the evil one. Look at verse 10. "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right way of the Lord?" So this helps us to hone in more on what the purposes of Paul are here. He wants for the gospel to go forward and the right ways about Jesus to be known. Now, did you notice kind of what the MO was, what their mode of operation was going from town to town? Where did they visit first? When they came to a town on the Sabbath, they would enter into a synagogue. And in Pisidian Antioch, they enter into the synagogue, and then they sit, they listen to the readings from the law and the prophets, and they're given an opportunity to speak. And so Paul stands up and he begins to recount God's work in the people all the way back to Egypt, and he brings it forward to the time of John the Baptist. Tomorrow we'll learn more about how they respond to this message of hope found only in Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 9, we see a statement that I've been saying a lot. You're probably tired of it. "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, some people think that Saul's name was changed to Paul, but I don't think that that's the case at all based on reading and things that I have learned. Saul would have been Paul's Israelite name, his Jewish name. So you think about King Saul. Well, he's named after the same kind of name. It's a Jewish name. And Paul, if you noticed today in the reading, the proconsul, his name was Sergius Paulus. That is a Greek name. So Paul is the Greek name of the apostle Saul. So I think given the context, they used either Paul when he was working with the Gentiles or Saul when he was with his Jewish brothers and sisters. Just a fun fact. I don't know. It's not bad if you want to say that Saul's name was changed to Paul, because we do know that God often does change the names of his people, signifying the change of their heart. And so it could be the case, but it could also be that in the ancient world, people went by different names when they were in different contexts. Okay, enough about that. As we end the podcast today, I just want to guide us through a gospel repentance exercise. This is something that I keep in my prayer book, and I don't come back to it often enough, but there are some provoking questions that I want us to think about today. Have I spoken or thought unkindly of anyone today? Or maybe yesterday, if you're doing this early morning. Am I justifying myself by caricaturing someone else in my mind? Have I been impatient or irritable? Have I been self-absorbed, indifferent, or inattentive to people? Have I judged another? And if that is the case, we can repent like this. May we consider the free grace of Jesus. Until there is no coldness or unkindness, as we think of the sacrificial love of Christ for us, no impatience as we think of His patience with us, and no indifference as we think of how God is infinitely attentive to us. And so I leave you today to reflect on the free grace that we have been shown until we pray, Holy Spirit, you would warm in us affection for those around us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.